Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So Jesus here is talking about words and works, and works are important to the Lord. You know, it's important to believe, it's important to pray, but it's important that our believing and our praying produce works. Can you say amen? It's important that there be works in our lives, manifestations of what we are believing and what we are praying. You know, sometimes in the healing ministry, I can, you know, go somewhere and see a lot of people get healed, and then I'll go somewhere else or pray for, I mean, I've had, you know, times when one in the healing line, somebody, three or four people get healed real easy in a row, and then somebody else comes up, and they were just coming up for prayer. You know what I mean? They just want to get prayed for. You know, that's what I'm not really excited about praying for people in the healing line that just wanted prayer. Because a lot of times people come in the healing line that just wanted prayer. They're not coming to get healed because I want to pull them out of the wheelchair. I want to grab the crutches and make them walk. And people get uneasy when I do those kinds of things. But I do it for a reason, because works are important. Praying is not, praying, don't get me wrong about that. I'm putting value on prayer that it have the end of works. Jesus here is talking about words that produce works. So Jesus here is talking about the Father dwells within me. Do you not believe that the Father dwells in me and I dwell in the Father? And in verse 11, he says, if you don't believe that because I say it, believe it for the very works' sake. You know what, church? Our works, our manifestations ought to have enough fruit. There ought to be enough evidence to what we say because of works taking place that we can take it to the lost and the dying world and saying, look, if you won't believe just because we preached it, believe it because this guy's blind eyes just opened. Believe it because this man got pulled up out of a wheelchair. Believe it because God took a bankrupt family and turned them into millionaires and they're supporting the ministry. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus here, I want you to read verse 11 again and see the value of works in the gospel and how important this is. See, we can't be satisfied with just praying. We've got to pray and see the works take place. And if you pray and you pray and you're not seeing the works take place, then you can come back here and see some simple adjustments that the Lord will have you make. Let me tell you this, make this statement to you right now. Faith is not the struggle of speaking and speaking and speaking and trying to force something to manifest. All right? Faith is not the... There is a fight of faith. Don't get me wrong. Because we fight in the faith of Christ for the gospel. There is a fight. But when you're standing and believing God for something in your life, faith and speaking the word is not the struggle of trying to speak it and speak it and speak it until something finally just explodes and breaks forth because of all your speaking, when really inside of your heart you've been struggling and doubting the whole time. See, Jesus here is saying how simple it is to operate great works. Actually, let's continue reading verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So everything that Jesus did came back to the Father. He went and spent time in prayer with the Father. How did he raise people from the dead? He said that he raised people from the dead because he saw his Father raise people from the dead. So I want to ask you tonight, what do you see your Heavenly Father doing? You know, the temptation can be, Paul, is that we're believing God for something, and right when we think it's going to get a whole lot better, just right when Joseph was in jail and the butler and the baker showed up and he interprets their dreams and he thinks, this is my ticket out of jail. Right when you think things are going to get better, they get worse. And the devil comes and he punches you in the face, and he comes around and he punches you in the back, kicks you while you're down, and he hits you with this discouragement. And the devil's biggest thing is he wants to get you to turn away from your true love relationship with our Father God. If he can get between you and the Father and convince you that your Father God, that God Almighty, your loving Father, has anything less for you than abundance and something that exceeds your heart's desire, if the devil can convince you that God has anything less than that for you, then he's got between you and your Father. And what's going to happen is your faith is going to become works without works. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your faith is going to become an action of works and works and works, and you're trying to produce, and then the devil's going to tell you it's not working, and you're going to look and get frustrated and begin to quit. But the thing is, your faith generates and originates from being in the presence of the Father. So if you're struggling in an area tonight, it's important to continue praying and speaking the word. But if you're praying prayer and you're speaking the word is just trying to patch a Band-Aid on top of a wound, then you got to go back to your Father and say, Lord, and just stay in His presence until something in your heart switches. And you come out and you can say, just like Jesus did, hey, I got a word from God now. You can believe it now, or you can believe it when it manifests in the natural. Your choice. But I got a word from God, and I know. And you can rest in joy and peace. And you're not fighting this. Your fight of faith is not the struggle of fear and torment inside of your heart. Your fight of faith is punching the devil in the mouth and getting a victory. Can you say amen tonight? It's wielding the sword of the Spirit. It's standing with the shield of faith. I remember years ago when I was a teenager, I got the revelation. And I remember when I was probably 12 or 13 years old, my mom raised our family on Kenneth Copeland's teaching tapes. And I got to where I could tell all of his stories, and I knew all of his stories about how he was believing God one day when he first started the ministry. They were trying to tow something with a pickup truck, and they used motorcycle straps, which I'm in the trucking business, and you do not use motorcycle straps to tie from a truck to a trailer. You don't do that. And these motorcycle straps, they get just got all tied up and knotted up, and they were somebody else's motorcycle straps. And I remember Kenneth Copeland telling the story about how he just put the straps down on the bed of the truck or the car and begin to just speak to them. If you know Kenneth Copeland, I mean, he'd speak to everything that moves and any things that don't move. And those things became unwound all by themselves as he began to speak the word. And I grew up hearing these things and hearing the word and the teaching and everything. And hearing the teaching and the word of faith just begin to get inside of my heart, you know, and then hearing and the speaking of the word. But when you get to the place where your speaking has not the revelation of the love of the Father, then you've got to come back to the Father, and your speaking to those things will have effect. There was another story that Kenneth Copeland told where he drove back, I think he drove his car back from California or something, and he had a heater that didn't work in his car. Jerry Savelle gets in his car. He's like, Kenneth, it's freezing in here. And he tries to turn the heater on, and Kenneth Copeland just speaks to the heater in his car, and the car begins to heat up. That's the power of works and having a relationship with God. You can speak to the little things. God will give you favor to deal with the little things, with the seemingly small things, but those big things, I'm telling you, God has an answer for you. And you can't get to the place where the devil has gotten between you and your Father and convinced you that God has anything less for you than a loving, wonderful plan. If you have anything else in your heart besides that, then I'm telling you, the devil's gotten between you and your Father with a lie. And so Jesus here explains and tells you how simple it is. Let's read this again. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He does the works. In verse 11, do you not believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake? Hallelujah. So the works begin to produce evidence to a lost and a dying world. God is interested in works. God is interested in your breakthrough. God is interested in that desire of your heart that maybe nobody else knows about. God placed that there. If it's a holy and a righteous desire, God placed that desire in your heart. And He is supremely interested in that. And so I want to encourage you tonight not to get caught into the religious rut of just speaking the same thing and praying the same thing, but you've lost your expectation for that breakthrough. You may have lost your expectation for that miracle to take place, and you've lost your cutting edge for the works to take place from the words that you are speaking. Let me read this to you here. The first thing, the Father within prompts the words of the works. Jesus made this statement here. I spoke about it a few weeks ago, where He says, the Father within me, He does the works. He started off saying, do you not believe? I want you to read it here in verse 10. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father within me, He does the works. Jesus switched from words to works in His statement. You see, when you are in the presence of God, when you're close to Jesus, when you're close to Him, when you're walking on the water, your words, and when you speak those things, those are works coming out of your mouth. They're not just vain words. They're not just empty words. When a businessman calls another businessman and gives him information, those are pretty much empty words. They communicate a thought, but there's no real power in those words. But Jesus' words are spirit and they are alive. So when you get in the presence of the Father and you are speaking His words, works begin to take place. It is impossible for you to be hearing from God, to be in the presence of God and come out with direction and not see manifestation take place. Because the words and the works are the same thing. In the eyes of God, the words and the works are the same thing. There is no difference. So when you are speaking the words of God, works are literally coming out of your mouth. If you have heard from the Spirit of God, if you have heard from the Father God, and your words are not hollow. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Once you turn there and read this, this is so powerful. I'm going to explain this to you. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says, talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and look at this phrase here, upholding all things by the word of His power. Now, I'm not Glenn Tidwell, and I don't have an English degree, but I do know enough to know that that phrase, the word of His power, means that the word derives its ability or its substance from the power. The power is the preeminent thing here in this statement, from the word of His power. In other words, the power is where the word started. In other words, you cannot get a word from God without that word being pure power. Did you catch what I just said right there? You cannot get a word from God without that word being pure power. It doesn't gain power because you fasted and prayed enough, although fasting and prayer is important. It doesn't gain power because you shouted enough, although shouting is important. But when you get it from God, that word is pure power. He upholds all things by the word of His power. For years, I just assumed that this said the power of His Word, because we know that His Word is powerful. But to say that God's Word is powerful is almost an understatement, because God's Word is pure power. So you cannot get in God's presence. You cannot get a direction from God. You cannot get a word from God without that word already having in it all the power that it needs to bring itself to pass, to manifestation in the realm of the natural. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's turn there real quick. It says, I'll just give it to you. It says, 1 Peter chapter 1, His word is incorruptible seed. That means the word of God has never corrupted. So that means when you speak the word, it has just as much power coming out of your mouth as when God originally spoke it. Hallelujah. When you speak the word of God, it has just as much power coming out of your mouth as it does when God originally spoke it. When God said, light be, if God ever tells you to say, light be, I'm telling you, you can say that with, and there's just as much power behind that as when God originally spoke it. Hallelujah. It has not diminished at all. His word is incorruptible seed. So it is impossible for His word to come out of your mouth with having diminished in any power at all from the time that it originated in heaven. Hallelujah. So that's why Jesus said, the words that I speak not of myself, but the Father within me, He does the works. So it does not start in the form of words and then take on power. Rather, it starts as raw power, as the raw power and the raw love of God. Impossible to be stopped. Impossible to be tainted. Impossible to be degraded or corroded in any manner. And then when you get the hold of that in your spirit, when you get in the presence of God and that word is fused on the inside of you and you begin to speak it, it is the raw power of God coming out of your heart, out of your spirit, into a situation. And it has the same amount of power as it did when God originally spoke it. And it is works. It is impossible for that word to come out of your heart without works and miracles being made manifest, because that word originated as power and as works. That's how it started. I like to just imagine it this way, that when God wanted to bless you, just say you needed healing of cancer, and before the foundation of the world, the Lord knew that Billy needed healing of cancer. So the Lord just drew from his power. I mean, if we could take the roof off of this building and see the entire sky over Northern America, if you could see the entire sky and just say that that sky represented the power of God. And then God just took a piece of that raw power for Billy's healing of cancer. And he took that, took a piece of that raw power and gave it to Billy in the form of, by your stripes, by my stripes, you are healed. He gave it to Billy in the form of words. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you tonight? It didn't start off as just a thought. It started off as God's raw power, his raw love and power for you. And he took from that and he communicated that to you in the form of words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is literally a piece of God Almighty. When you're in the presence of God and you begin to get revelation from him, that's why it's so important that it be firsthand revelation. I'll tell you, God will give you firsthand revelation when pastor's up here speaking. He gave me so much firsthand revelation Sunday morning and Sunday night with pastor speaking. And God will give you that. But however it comes in the prayer closet, and during praise and worship, during the preaching of the word, you have to get firsthand revelation to where it just gets straight on the inside of you, where it's something that came from the Father that dwells within. When you're, the word you're standing on is something that came from the Father that dwells within, I'm telling you, the works will be unstoppable. There's nothing that can stop it. The Father within does the works. Glory to God. We're complete in Christ Jesus, lacking nothing. Shalom means wholeness, completeness, lacking nothing. We're complete in Christ. Hallelujah. And the Father dwells on the inside of us the same way he dwelled on the inside and still dwells on the inside of Jesus. Hallelujah. So back to John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus here, what he's saying in effect is speaking the words of the Father, and the Father doing the works is the same thing. It's important to notice here that it said the Father does the works, not you and not me. Now that doesn't take away from the value of us speaking the word. But that rather exalts the awesomeness of God, that when you speak that word, he is doing the works. Jesus said, the Father within me, he does the works. Not even Jesus did the works technically. I mean, if you could break it down technically in the realm of the Spirit, he says here, the Father within does the works. So powerful when you get the word from God, the Father within you does the works. Uninhibited. No lack of power. Glory to God. Speaking the words is declaring what God has already worked. The words of the Father are already worked. In Psalms 119:89, it says, his word is forever settled in heaven. God's words are already worked. I want to bear down on this right now. God's words are already worked. Psalms 119, verse 89 says, his word is forever settled in heaven. Psalms 119:160 says, his word is true from the beginning. Ephesians 1:4 says, it was done before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3 says, the works were finished from before the foundation of the world. So God's word in your mouth is already done. Hallelujah. And God is at work, the Father on the inside of you, doing those works. Hallelujah. So your faith works is not a labor and a grind and on the grindstone. Oh, Lord, we got to believe God for another faith project. That's the last thing I need is another faith project, another thing on my prayer list. I can't handle that. That's too much. No, that's not how faith works. You can get this on the inside of you, and the works is the manifestation. The works will no longer become a labor and a drudgery that you have to do of trying to believe God and trying to keep your confession perfect. I'm telling you, when you get your heart in the presence of God and the Father within dwells on the inside is in revelation with you, then you won't have any trouble speaking the word. You won't have any trouble having your confession being right in line. Your confession, the words out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. Glory to God. And the works of God will be right there. The words come from the works. I already shared that with you. Faith is speaking what is already done, not using force to try to get something to become done. Faith is speaking what is already done. It's not using force to try to get something to become done. If it's a struggle, get back in the presence of God. This level of revelation allows you to work with God, working directly through you. No inhibition, no hindrance, nothing between you and God. Getting revelation from Him. It's a place of no hindrance, the Spirit without measure to the one that speaks the Father's words. It's a place where you can command people to believe for the work's sake. I'm telling you, what a high level to be, church, when we can stand up to a lost and dying world and say, look, it's no longer just the message. It's no longer just an intellectual thought of the gospel that we are bringing to you. If you don't believe that, look, believe it for the work's sake. That's what Jesus was saying here in verse 11. If you can't believe it just because I'm telling you, then believe it because of the work's sake. Believe it because of the miracles that are taking place. Believe it because of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. God's goodness leads people to repentance. Glory to God. God working through you, bringing miracles, bringing goodness to people. Can you say amen tonight? This is power to reach the lost that Satan cannot comprehend. He cannot touch. He can't stop. Glory to God. The Father within does the works. God working on the inside of you. Through the revelation, get in the presence of God. Let your faith not be a labor and a fight within, but your faith is a release of the presence of God in your life from getting in His presence. It's a release when you get in God's presence and that thing that was in your heart that you were struggling with so much. I mean, you could have been trying to speak the word all day and speak the word, but you could have been, there's just a struggle on the inside all day, but you finally get home and you get in the presence of God and spend 30 minutes, an hour, and all of a sudden things begin to just unravel, and that trouble, that struggle on the inside of your heart all of a sudden begins to get in line with the Word of God, and faith becomes a natural byproduct of what you receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Father working within you begins to do the works. Hallelujah. The Father working within you begins to do the work. Hallelujah. Because when God works, things happen. When we work, things don't happen. When we work, we get frustrated. When we work, we get upset and we get irritated. It's like trying to spit. It's like spitting cotton. I mean, you begin to do it in your own works and in your own flesh. We get frustrated. But when God begins to work, when you do and operate the faith life like Jesus did, you get in the presence of God Almighty and you see what He's doing, and it's so easy to believe God. So easy to believe God for healing of cancer. So easy to believe God for your breakthrough. So easy to believe God for your family to get saved. Hallelujah. You say amen tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, if there's just one person here tonight, you're not totally sure that God is your Father. I'm telling you, He loves you. There is nothing on His side that's between you and Him. There's nothing in God's heart standing between you and Jesus. If you're not totally for sure that He's your Father, right now, if there's any doubt in your heart, if you were to die right now and you're not for sure that you would go to heaven, I want to pray with you and pray for you. Or if you're in this place and you know you're going to heaven, but you also know your heart is not right with God, I want to pray with you and for you right now. If there's anybody here, I just want you to raise your hand. God's speaking to your heart. If you're not for sure that you would make heaven, or you know that your heart is not right with God, just raise your hand in the air so I can pray with you and pray for you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, we may be all home folk, but there's one person, your heart's pounding away right now. I know that's you. Anybody here in this place tonight, the Lord's speaking to your heart. It's time for you to make God your Father. His arms are open wide. Only the devil's trying to get between. If there's anybody in this place, I'll just ask one more time. If you don't know for sure that your life is right with God, just raise your hand up in the air and wave it at me so I can pray with you and pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your precious blood that has saved every person in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just got about 2 minutes. Let's just pray together.